Let's turn in God's Word to Amos chapter 5. Amos chapter 5, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 6 this evening. Amos chapter 5, verses 1 through 6. And before we read God's Word, let's pray to the Lord. Our gracious Father, we give you praise. We're thankful for your Word. We're thankful that you speak to us and plead now that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate our hearts and our minds, even with the remaining sin or the complete darkness that we live in today. In our hearts. Father, shine your light into the dark places, that your name would be exalted, that your Son would be seen and believed in, and that your Holy Spirit would draw us to yourself. For that is our only hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amos chapter 5. And verse 1, these are God's words. Hear ye this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live. But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba. For Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught. Seek the Lord, and ye shall live, lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph, and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. And those are God's words. When we come to chapter 5, we might be asking how much more of going through the sins of Israel and the judgments that have already been already started to come upon them as a nation and calling them to repentance. So how much more of this do they need to hear? How much more of this do we need to hear as well? We might be asking that and yet reminded, this is the Lord's Word and His authority for this Word to keep coming to them, and therefore, no matter how difficult to hear, it is perfect for their good. And it is perfect for our good, at least to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. It is good to hear. It is to those who do not turn to the Lord, of course, it is judgment to them, for whom the Holy Spirit does not come upon. Something we heard or might have considered this morning in Sabbath school, but did not, since we were talking about the effectual call. But the Word comes, and when it is not joined by the Holy Spirit, or when it is joined by the Holy Spirit to harden, it comes for judgment. Chapter 5 is really a continuation of what we heard at the end of chapter 4. There you remember verse 12, the call to Israel was, prepare to meet thy God. The God, verse 13, who is the Creator of all things, and who has sent many lesser judgments already to Israel as warnings and to us of a coming greater judgment. Chapter 5 is like here's how you ought to prepare to meet thy God. If we could treat it that way. Here is how to prepare to meet thy God. And first, the right way, and this is the right way to prepare to meet thy God. Preparing begins with lamentation. lamentation, this first point. If you could, Israel, see your own funeral, you could see your own demise and destruction, this is it. Verse 1, hear ye this word which I take up, not for you. Remember that at the beginning of Amos in chapter 1? Hear this word which I take up against you, even a lamentation, O house of Israel. The virgin of Israel is fallen. She shall no more rise. She is forsaken upon her land. There is none to raise her up. It's like saying, look into your casket and see your casket. See your true spiritual state. There it is. Which in this case, for Israel, is soon to be your physical state as well. Go ahead. Continue in that way that you have gone, but realize it's your funeral, as we would say today. This is similar to what we find in Luke 19, when Jesus weeps over Jerusalem, in which we just read in Luke 23, He counseled the women to lament and weep over Jerusalem. But here in Luke 19, a few chapters before, Jesus weeps over Jerusalem because of the judgment that will come upon it, because they have seen the Christ. They have heard His Word. They've seen the miracles that He is from God. He's the Messiah. And yet they have not believed in Him. They have not turned to Him and repented of their sin. And so He weeps over Jerusalem because judgment will come, He says. And when He has come near, He beheld the city and wept over it, saying, if thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the day shall come upon thee, that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee around, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children with thee, within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. And there in verse 2, he says, in the present tense, the virgin of Israel is fallen. Israel here is called a virgin, not because she's pure, which we often think of a virgin pure, undefiled, but here describing a nation as living in self-indulgence and luxury, as we have seen described in, before in Amos. And this is a similar description of Babylon. I don't think it's a good thing, beloved. I don't think you would consider it a good thing to have a similar description as of Babylon. In Isaiah 47, there it says, come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. And so the same for Israel. Israel is fallen. The destruction of this nation is already determined. The northern kingdom, she is fallen. She shall no more rise. There is none to raise her up. She is forsaken. Forsaken of the Lord. Just as there are two denominations in the Old Testament, we might say Israel, the northern kingdom, and Judah, the southern kingdom. And of course, many denominations today in the church. Beloved, know that church history from time to time in the Scriptures, from the Scriptures, even until now, is filled with examples of congregations and whole denominations that once flourished and are now gone forever. Gone forever. Nations the same. Great nations gone forever. We could probably remember some of them. Assyria, Babylon, the Medes and Persians. Greece and Rome used to be a great power, really are nothing today compared to what they used to be. So too the United Kingdom or Britain. And maybe so for this nation as well. One of the greatest nations ever upon the face of the earth. And yet, if we keep going the way we keep going, we also will come to nothing. Verse 3. For thus saith the Lord God, the city that went out by 1,000 shall leave 100, and that which went forth by 100 shall leave 10 to the house of Israel. Churches and denominations once flourished, gone forever. And the churches, people will surmise, well, this, and so what we hear today sometimes, well, this is due to the young people not staying in the church, and the music's, we need to change with the culture, but we haven't done that, and so we are dying We couldn't afford the upkeep of our building, and so we came to nothing. We could go on with a list of reasons of what people today would surmise as the reason why a church or a congregation or whole denominations that once flourished, now gone forever or on their way. But what does it come down to, beloved? What does the Lord say? It comes down to the Lord not blessing. Removing His blessing. Think of many churches in Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Those real churches. Might even say presbyteries, but churches. Many called to repent there in Revelation 2 and 3. Many corporate repentance called upon for them to do. Some having the blessings of God removed because they had not repented. And here is Israel the same. Those churches in Revelation 2 and 3, can you name any that are still in existence? Sardis? Can you name any that are still in existence today? The blessings of God removed because they did not listen to the Word of God to repent. And so here is Israel the same. All the same, a warning to us as a nation, to us as a church. The Lord can remove His blessings. In verse 3, we see that Israel's prosperity, their military might, nor their empty yet external religion that we've read about could save Israel. The city went out by 1,000 shall be but 100. 100 shall only be 10. In other words, Israel will be soundly defeated. They will come to basically nothing. They will be decimated. Just think of Israel entering into the promised land as an example of this. And Joshua there and defeating those cities. And the Lord just completely destroyed whole cities without any credit being able to be given to the people of Israel. As they came in and they marched around Jericho and they went up to Ai and things like that. This is now turned around on Israel. No matter what they try to do with whatever power they might have, they are not going to win. They were going to be destroyed. And this all, beloved, when the Lord removes His blessing upon a nation, when the Lord removes His blessing upon a church or upon congregations, this is a reason for lamentations. For lamentation. When we start lamenting, of course we should probably start lamenting before that, but this is surely a reason to lament. What again this ultimately shows is that sin must bring sorrow, as we heard this morning, that bitterness, and it does bring ruin to the unrepentant. So when we see the Lord removing blessings, we better start lamenting and wailing before the Lord. The second point, as the last point, is really the main point of chapter 5 as a whole, and that is seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. The best way to prepare to meet thy God is to seek the Lord. Verses 1 through 3, the judgment is definitely coming. Israel will be destroyed. The Lord has already determined this, even from His eternal decrees. He is sharing that here. We've heard before, people will be carried away in exile. We know, looking at it in the after the fact, that the Assyrians will come up and carry them away. And this is because of the wickedness of Israel. This is because they continued in their idolatry and sin without repenting as a nation, without repenting as a religious people. And here we come again to the call to repent. You see, even verse 3 reveals the truth. Maybe a bit veiled, but there is a remnant that we've heard about before. There are a few who will repent. The nation will not repent. The leaders of Israel will not repent, and therefore the nation will not repent. They will be judged, but few individuals will turn to the Lord in faith. They will be saved. They will be delivered from the greatest judgment in the great day of the Lord. Only a few of Israel. And so then how are they to prepare to meet thy God? It is the same for all of us here today. As we consider our nation, some of you I know fear what might come of our nation. And if the nation continues and fails to repent, the great judgment that will come upon this nation, the temporal judgments that will come, if the church will fail also to repent and the Lord removes His blessings from the church, removes His faithful ministers, as we've also heard, is possible, then by God's grace the call still comes from Him. The Lord still calls down unto you all. He speaks and calls you today. He says, verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall live." Verses 1 through 3, Israel is going to be destroyed. You're going to come to nothing. Verse 4, "For thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel," to the same people, "seek ye me, and ye shall live." This is the essence of repentance. The attitude we all need. Seek me. Seek the Lord. This is what the Lord desires for us. 2 Chronicles 7. "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." That's what the Lord is saying here. Now when we read verse 4 in our passage, you're probably thinking this is speaking about the individual. If you singular seek me. But no. Even when the remnant was just alluded to, it's still not that. Just like 2 Chronicles 7, this is you plural. Israel is going to be judged. Very matter-of-factly, it's already set in motion. The whole nation, there is a remnant. A few will be saved, but Israel is going to be judged. The call comes, "All of you, Israel, seek me. All of you, Israel, seek me and you will live." You will live. The promise the Lord brings is, "If you all will come to me as a nation, as a people, then I will forgive your sin and heal your land." And so we're reminded here of the free offer of the gospel. Offered to all. "Seek ye," all of you. When you see the in King James, "ye," Y-E, it's always plural. "Seek ye me, and ye shall live." Free offer of the gospel. It's offered to all. And yet the Lord knows they will not. Many will not. Most will not. Seek Him. They will continue in the hardness of their heart. They will perish. But if you seek me, if you seek me, you will live. He's still merciful, still gracious in His pronouncement of judgments. If you seek me, you will find me. You will live. And so when you meet me, prepare to meet thy God. When you meet me, if you seek me, you will not be destroyed. And so, beloved, all of our actions in relation to repentance are to be an evidence of our desire to find and know the Lord. And our desire must be to seek the Lord while He may be found. And this seeking must be done with the whole heart. Jeremiah 29, it says, "And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart." If you seek after the Lord with all your heart, then you will not search in vain. You will find Him in Him a gracious and merciful God. But true repentance and seeking after the Lord is also putting off our idolatry and our sin. And that's verse 5. "But seek not Bethel, nor enter into Gilgal, and pass not to Beersheba, for Gilgal shall surely go into captivity, and Bethel shall come to naught." Come to nothing. Israel had their empty religion. They were good at external religion, as we've heard before, going through the motions, putting on a show. But here the Lord's solemn warning to them about repentance and about seeking Him, that they must disavow all their false worship and sin, all their idolatry, all their transgressions. "Don't seek me in Bethel. The Lord is not there to be sought after. Bethel, we learned in chapter 4 before that it is the place where Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, right? Jeroboam, remember Jeroboam? Oliver, you remember Jeroboam? Where he set up the false worship there in Bethel. And they were trying to so that they would not go down to Jerusalem to worship. The high places set up in Gilgal, don't go there either. There's false worship there too. Don't seek me there. Don't seek me in Beersheba, down in Judah. For by this time that also had become a center of idolatry. And the people of Israel had been going down there to take part in that false worship there. And so, beloved, one thing that this shows is that the devil, if he is going to attack you, if he's going to attack this congregation, know that he's going to attack also, and probably most especially, at the place of worship and what we do in worship. He loves to come and penetrate the sacred in order to profane and pervert it. Moreover, beloved, do not come to seek salvation. To seek the Lord in institutions like Bethel and Gilgal and Beersheba. Don't come and seek after the Lord through special formulations of man that man has come up with, or traditions of men that man has come up with, however spiritual they may seem, if God has not commanded it in His Word. Do not come in those ways. Notice the distinction that's being made here between verses 4 and 5. How many people in the world, even in the church, amongst the leaders, follow the way of verse 5? By traditions and man's way. Well, we've always done it this way in our church. We've always done it this way in the RPCNA. And if those ways are not in accord with Scripture, and the servant of the Lord comes, being sent by the Lord, led by the Lord, they're like Amos here, and the Lord speaking through them, seek not Bethel, seek not Gilgal, enter not in there. And the people get upset, they want to get rid of that servant that the Lord has sent. Turn from your traditions and turn from the man-made ideas and methods. And rather, verse 4, what does he say? Seek ye me. Not these other things, these other ways, these other places. Seek me. Seek me, the Lord says. Don't seek the things of the world and the ways of this world. He says, seek me. Seek the Creator of this world. Seek the all-powerful, all-knowing One. You see verse 5? Verse 5, that's syncretism. Right, it's the mixing of the ways of God and the false ways of man in the world. You put that together as your religion, and that's syncretism, and that's a great error. We could also say it's heresy. It is a breaking of the first, second, third, fourth, all the commandments. And we should have no other gods before me, he says. We ought not to make anything to worship the Lord in any way that He's not commanded. No, the Lord wants you to seek Him and Him alone. He wants your full heart. He wants your whole life. Not part of, not a mixture of what you have in your life with the world and Him. He wants all of you. He wants all of your worship with all of your heart. Seek the Lord God. And verse 6 continues that thought. It says, seek the Lord and ye shall live. Repeats it. Verse 4, and lest he break out like fire in the house of Joseph and devour it, and there be none to quench it in Bethel. The Lord is holy. Because, beloved, today, unless you seek the Lord, turning from your ways, the world's ways, as we've considered, unless you seek the Lord today, then you will perish. The Lord will break out in His holiness against you, in the fire of His holiness against the house of Joseph. Here He says, in the house to the house of Joseph. That is the house of Ephraim upon Israel, beloved. The holiness of the Lord will come upon you like a consuming fire that He is, and you'll not be able to escape His judgments. And in all the land of Israel, beloved, none will be able to quench that fire. It's an eternal fire. To put out this fire, for it will be a fire, a holy fire of indignation and fury of the Lord upon you if you seek not the Lord. It is impossible to put that fire out. There are therefore two options given to Israel. Verse 4 and the first part of verse 6. They can seek the Lord, in which they're promised to find Him and live forever. Or they can continue in their own ways and traditions, man's ways, and be judged with fury of the Lord. And the same is true for you today, beloved. There's always only two options. You're called as a nation today. You're called as a church today, as a congregation today, as a family today. He calls unto you, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Ye shall live, repeats verse 4, and says that you will be spared as a nation. You'll be spared the temporal judgments upon the church. The blessings will return unto you. Seek me, and ye shall live. Focusing on ourselves as a congregation, seek ye me. He calls and freely offers life to our congregation. That is temporal continuance of this congregation. How will this congregation continue into the future if you seek me? Seek ye me, and ye shall live. What if we stop seeking Him and we go after the ways of the world as other churches have done? Then the blessings will be removed. He has surely blessed us in mighty ways. He will remove those. And we are warned even now, if we go our own ways and put on those man-made methods, when we do, He warns here, He will break out in His holiness. He will consume us as being consumed with fire, and we will be no more devoured. And there will be none to quench His judgment. Remember the churches, Revelation 2 and 3, called to repent, the blessings removed from them are no more today. Congregation, seek the Lord and keep doing so. It's a continual thing. The best way, beloved, to prepare to meet thy God is found here. Come seeking the Lord. But how do we seek the Lord? We've heard that there must be lamentation, as we heard this morning, bitterness over our own sin. They're in verses 1 through 3. But further, to seek the Lord means to humble yourselves before the Lord. Humble and pray. Seek His face. Turn from your wicked ways. Stop using God. Often in the churches we find people, churches, leaders using God. Well, if you just have enough faith, God will reward you. No. That's using God. Stop using God. Rather, come humbly serving the Lord. Israel believed, as many in our nation at times do, and the church often believes a lot, that God would serve us. The Lord would feel indebted then to us because of all of our sacrifices we offer, because of how great our faith is, because of how long we pray, because of how much community service we do, or because of how much we sing the Psalms, whatever. You can add a list. You do this and God will bless us more because of what we do. No. Israel and much of the church have developed a religion without God at the center. Seek not the man-made house of God in Bethel. Beth-el, house of God. Now seek the Lord, and He will hear from heaven and forgive your sin. We were read in 2 Chronicles 7. He will show mercy and grace, and you will be preserved. But then how do we seek His face? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. You must come to Jesus and seek Him. He says in John 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me. Beloved, we seek the Lord how? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, by faith in Him alone. Coming unto Him, and the promise is, seek ye me, and ye shall live. Seek the Lord, verse 6, and ye shall live. He's here, he says, don't seek me in Bethel, not in Gilgal or Beersheba. Well, if not in those places, then where do we seek him? In Christ and his worship. This is why the Lord so often encourages us in the public assemblies morning and evening. For he is not far from each and every one of us. God has made us to worship him. He says, Acts 17, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being. So where do we seek him? Zechariah chapter 8 says, and the inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also. Yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. It's not in Bethel. It's not in Gilgal. It's in Jerusalem that we seek the face of the Lord and worship at the temple, if we were in the Old Testament. Because as John 4, we've learned in the New Testament times now, as Jesus has died on the cross, risen from the dead. John 4, we learn through the blood of Christ, we come directly to the very throne of God spiritually through His blood. We come no longer therefore to Jerusalem, but wherever we gather, two or three gathered together and worship together by the Holy Spirit. That's where we come. We come to worship morning and evening. Deuteronomy 4 reminds us, and there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, for the Lord thy God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. And beloved, what does seeking the Lord lead to? It in fact leads to worship of the Lord. 1 Chronicles 16 says, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people, sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O ye seed of Israel, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen ones, he is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. And it's amazing how many times, if you look up in the Scriptures, seek the Lord, how so many of them are surrounded by the language of the public assemblies of God's worship. Beloved, where must we come in order to put ourselves in the way of communing, fellowship with the living God, even in Christ Jesus, His Son? It is here in public worship. Come and seek the Lord. Isaiah 55, the famous passage, already referred to it a little bit. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return, repent, let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For Israel, they were still able to find him. He's offering himself to them here, and it is the same for us. He's able to be found today by you, if you have the Holy Spirit to seek him. And so seek him with all your heart today while he may be found. There may be days ahead where it will be difficult to seek after the Lord and find the Lord. Forsake your wicked ways, the ways of man, and seek after the Lord in Christ Jesus, his Son, by his Spirit. You remember today that he freely offers to all of you to seek after him. Even you might think you are the most wicked person ever, he still freely offers to you all to seek after him. He says, seek ye me, and ye shall live. He says in verse 6, seek the Lord, and ye shall live. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word and your promise. Your command is that we would seek you. And your promise, if we do seek you, is that we will live. And you are always faithful to your promises. And all your commandments are right and good and just. And so there's no mistake that you've made here, calling Israel to seek you. Nor is there any mistake that you have called us who hear today to seek you. For we know it is offered freely to all of us in Christ your Son, that if we seek you, we seek your face, we seek you in the public assemblies, we seek you in your word and by your Holy Spirit, we will surely live. No longer will it be true of us, of that promise there given in the covenant of works. If we eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that if we eat of it, we will die. No, now if we seek you, we will live. And so grant us life by your Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.